Hope you all have had a good day today. I hope that some of the people that were up at camp have gotten to take a nap or something today, get some rest in and recover a little bit more. We are continuing our study through Colossians and being rooted in Christ. He is our foundation. We are rooted in Him, and we are taking our nutrients from Him as a tree would be taking the nutrients from the soil. That's who we should be attached to. And we're in chapter 2 where Paul is really starting to get into the heart of why he wrote this letter. These challenges are starting to come against the Colossian church, the church at Laodicea, and other churches in the area with these false teachers coming in. And I know that, you know, sometimes we become numb to false teachers. To thinking about that very much, but we need to be on guard with that. We need to make sure that we're studying the scriptures so that we can notice those who teach falsely. But what I want you to remember about these false teachers is that it's not like they're coming in and saying, "We want you to leave Christ." It's not like they're challenging these Christians in Colossae to say, "You have to completely forego your faith." All they're doing is bringing in something in addition to, or just something else to add in to the side of things, to say, just that Christ wasn't all of it. There's something else that we've learned that you should have too, that you should know too, if you're really going to have salvation, if you're really going to be with God forever. There's something else we need to know. That's what's happening. And they might not even be saying it in that sense, but that's what's happening, is they're teaching these things in addition to what Paul and the apostles and other prophets have already taught to the Colossians. And so tonight we're just in verses 8 through 10 of chapter 2. And Paul is saying, "I do not want you to be taken captive." To be taken captive. Now what we need to understand about that word is it's not necessarily that they're stealing anything from the Colossians, but they are taking captive the Christians themselves. They're being captivated by these new teachings, by these philosophical words that Paul gets into here. This is a challenge for them, and it can be a challenge for us. I've tried to think of a way to understand this. Don't be taken captive by something that's in addition to Christ. And the best thing that I could come up with is a number of years ago, there was a teaching that came out basically trying to meld evolution with the creation in Genesis chapter 1. And what they were teaching was when it said on day one, God created this, well, they would say that basically there was a span of time between day one and day two, and that could have been millions of years that allowed this particular evolutionary principle to happen. So people were trying to get evolution into Scripture and into our hearts and minds, when what the Bible has taught forever is day one, day two, day three, day four, day five, day six, and on day seven, God rested, right? That was it. It's not teaching a span of millions of years, but a number of years ago, that was a teaching that was really, really coming into the church, really attacking Christians, is to believe that God didn't really create the world in 6 days. Now, what they would say is, yes, He did. It was just He allowed all this time to pass between Him creating this on day one and then creating this on a second day. And so they tried to add all that in by doing that. And some people were taken captive by that teaching. And so we have to be careful with what we're listening to, what we're focused on. I know some people really enjoy listening to radio channels that are focused on sermons, and there are men that are preaching sermons on the radio, and we can get caught up into listening to that because, well, it's better than the other junk on the radio, right? And we can get caught up into listening to those things And yet in the same time, we're allowing someone to indoctrinate us and bring other doctrines into our minds that isn't necessarily based off of Scripture. And so we have to be careful when we are listening to those channels that we're really paying attention. Is that exactly what Scripture says? Is that what God was actually teaching there? And so we really need to be paying attention to what we're listening to, who we're listening to. Not only that, but if I'm listening to this person, is he really teaching the truth? Is he really teaching from Scripture? Or is he coming from left field somewhere? Or did he add in a word that wasn't there that is taking away? Just like Satan added a small word, right, to the commandment in Genesis chapter 1. He said, you will surely not die. And he just added a single word, and that was enough for Adam and Eve to take a bite of that fruit. So we really need to be paying attention and on guard. That's why in numerous places Paul says to be sober-minded. Peter says to be sober-minded in 1 Peter chapter 5 as well. So we need to be paying attention. So Paul's concern is that they are going to be taken captive. They themselves will be captivated by these teachings. He says you're going to be misled. You're going to be deceived. Notice, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy. We'll stop there. Philosophy. What is philosophy? It's really the love of wisdom. Now, are we a people today who like to learn? Who love wisdom? Who enjoy knowledge? And it's not a bad thing, right? I mean, we should constantly be striving to learn and to gain knowledge in those areas. But at the same time, we better be cautious with that. We need to be gaining knowledge. We shouldn't just be content with what we know and leave it at that. We should always be wanting to grow. God encourages us to grow. We're encouraged in 2 Peter to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ our Lord. So we're supposed to be growing. We're supposed to be growing in knowledge and wisdom. And Paul's talking about wisdom and knowledge and understanding in this book alone. But he says, make sure that you're focused on the knowledge, the wisdom, and the understanding that's based upon Christ, not based on other things. Okay? Be careful with what you're paying attention to, with what you're allowing yourself to get caught up in. But he also goes on to say, not just through philosophy, but empty deception. And basically all he's saying is, it's in conjunction with the philosophy, but while it sounds good and it sounds wonderful and it actually sounds very wise, he says it's empty. They're deceiving you and it's empty. And we're going to notice in verse 10, he says, in him you have been made complete. Basically, you've been made full, complete, mature in Christ. And if we're allowing these philosophies to captivate us, these empty deceptions, then being full in Christ, we're now beginning to be emptied. We're losing Christ and giving ourselves over to another teaching, to another doctrine that's taking us away. He says it's not only these philosophies and empty deceptions, but this is happening according, in verse 8, to the tradition of men. So notice, it's not necessarily got to be something way out there. It's just a tradition that's been going on for generation after generation after generation. Turn over to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7, and we'll start in verse 1. But here we see tradition of men being encouraged. And it's partly why the Pharisees questioned Jesus. How come your disciples are not following these traditions? Let's start in verse 1. The Pharisees and some of the scribes gathered around him when they had come from Jerusalem, and had seen that some of his disciples were eating their bread with impure hands, that is, unwashed. Now notice in verses 3 and 4, you probably have some sort of parentheses around these verses. It's Mark explaining what it means to have impure hands or unwashed. It says, for the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they carefully wash their hands, thus observing the traditions of the elders. And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they cleanse themselves. And there are many other things which they have received in order to observe, such as the washing of cups and pitchers and copper pots. And notice verse 5. The Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat their bread with impure hands?" And he said to them, "Rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but with their heart, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men. Neglecting the commandment of God, you hold to the tradition of men." And so one of the ways that these false teachers are coming into the church in Colossae and Laodicea is through the traditions of men. And it could easily be the traditions of the Jews. If you skip down to verse 11 in chapter 2, I don't want to get too deep into this, but he says, "And in him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him," verse 12, "in baptism." Now, that's the circumcision we go through today as Christians, not the physical circumcision of the Jews. But one of the things that could be brought into these churches is you need to be physically circumcised before you can really accept Christ. That might be one of the struggles that they're going with. Now, that was a command of God, right? That was a command of God in the Old Testament that they could be bringing in. But now at this point, it's now more of a tradition now that the old law has been done away with. And so now it's just a tradition that goes on and is passed down from generation to generation. He also says, something else I wanted to look at before we move on past traditions. Turn over to 2 Thessalonians. Second Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 6. It says, "Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from every brother who leads an unruly life, and not according to the tradition which you received from us." And so we have to understand that, you know, this is Paul saying there's a tradition that you received from us that you need to hold to. It's a godly tradition. It's one that was given to us by God, and it's the example in which the way they lived, Paul and others lived in such a way that they could follow that tradition and that example, right? So it's when you start looking at traditions, it really can get interesting with all of this. But you notice with Jesus and the Pharisees, and the washing of the hands, the washing of the pots, and those, they were supposed to wash. They were supposed to do things a certain way and be clean in certain ways. But the rabbis and the elders and the teachers in their age had come up with multiple rules adding to the washings. And it just simply became tradition that they did those certain things. It wasn't really what God commanded them to do. And here Paul is saying, follow the traditions that we gave you, that we lived in front of you. Those are the traditions that God wants you to follow. And so you've got godly traditions and you've got man-made traditions, and we've got to be wise enough to understand the difference between the two. And so here are the Colossians being suckered in by traditions of men and starting to leave the traditions that Paul and others have taught them and given them. Go back to chapter 2, Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8. This philosophy and empty deception is coming according to the tradition of men, but also according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. I love that word, elementary principles, that phrase. It just makes me think of the Jackson 5 song. You know, A, B, C, you know, it's as easy as 1, 2, 3. Okay, just elementary principles. I know I'm not Michael Jackson. That's just not, I can't do that very well. But, you know, it's these elementary things. They're simple things. But he says, These are the principles of what? Of the world. They're not according to Christ. And it's not the ABCs, and it's not 1, 2, 3. It's not do, re, mi. It's these principles from the world that they're being taught and that they're starting to believe and follow. He says you need to make sure you're focused on the elementary principles that are based on Christ, that are found in Him. He is the foundation. And so we see these three descriptions on how they're being deceived with this philosophy. It's by the traditions of men, it's by these elementary principles, and it's things happening that are not according to what Christ would teach. So that's how all of this is coming in, and that's how they're being taken captive, is by those things. Now notice verse 9, you know, how do we battle against these things? How do we fight back against this false teaching of traditions and all these things? He says, your defense is Christ. Your defense is Him. He says in verse 9, for in Him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. So when he talks about Christ, when he talks about Jesus, it's not that Jesus was somehow devoid of deity, or that he just had a part of it. You know, he was just partly God. No, he was it. He had the fullness of deity. Everything God is, Jesus is, in bodily form. He had it all. He has all authority. You know, he has the ability to perform those miracles and do all those wonderful things that we see him do. We talked about the feeding of the 5,000 this morning during our morning worship. We briefly noticed him walking on water, but he also cast out demons and he showed power over the waves and the seas and the storms, and he, peace be still, right? And he calmed the seas. It's all deity in bodily form. Go back to chapter 1, starting in verse 15. We've already gone through this, but just a reminder of him being God. It says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. That's Christ. That's Jesus. That's who he is. The fullness of deity dwells within him, and he holds all things together. The fact that the earth is where it is, spinning and at its axis and the right distance from the sun. I mean, we're going to, in just a few weeks, be able to witness the solar eclipse, and so some really neat things that we'll be able to witness. And the power that Jesus has, all deity, the fullness of deity in bodily form, he created all of that, and he holds it all together. And not only that, he is the head of the church, the body, and you should put your faith and trust in him. Hold to him. And notice verse 10. It says, and in him you have been made complete, and he is the head over all rule and authority. Okay, so in him you have been made complete. Everything that is needed spiritually, you find in Christ. There's nothing lacking there. That's part of the problem that the church in Colossae and the church at Laodicea is facing. Now, even in 1 Thessalonians, do you remember in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, they were worried because some of their fellow Christians were dying. They had died and they'd passed on. And they're wondering, did they miss the resurrection, right? And they're worried about those things. And you got to understand that this is the church anew. They're learning everything. They don't have all these scriptures written or collected yet. Here's this letter written to them in that moment of time. And that's them gaining all this information that we're talking about right now. And they're realizing, we shouldn't listen to what this person is saying because we received everything from Paul that we needed. We need to make sure we stay on that track. Because when somebody new comes in and they say, well, I got to visit Paul in prison the other day and just start talking about Paul, and then all of a sudden start teaching something else that he's saying Paul told him, or some other apostle that he just wants to name. That's how these false teachers were able to get into congregations, were able to get in and start teaching falsely. Just using a false name or saying, I'm a disciple of the Apostle John, or I'm this person or that person. Now, that's why you see in Revelation chapter 2, the message to the church at Ephesus, God, Jesus tells him, what I do love about you, what I do recognize about you, what I commend you for, is the fact that you've tested those false apostles, that you've tested them and proven them to be false. That's a good work, that's a good deed that you are a part of. Now, he also says, the one thing you're lacking is you've left your first love. But notice, the church at Ephesus was making sure they knew if someone was teaching falsely or if someone was coming in and somehow a wolf in sheep's clothing and taking them by the wayside, captivating them by these philosophies, empty deception. And he says, you have everything you need in Christ. You have already been made complete. You notice that in verse 10? It's past tense. He says, and in him you have been made complete. It's already happened. You don't have to go anywhere else. You've been made complete in him already. And then it says, and he is the head over all rule and authority. So just in case you're still struggling, Jesus has all power, all rule, all authority. Why would you listen to someone else rather than Christ when he has all rule, all power, all authority? There's no one above him, right? There's no one that's above Christ that's going to teach you something different. So we need to make sure that we're focused on what he teaches, what he says. When you have Christ, you have everything you need. There's going to be philosophies that come in and out. You know, typically, whatever goes through the world somehow makes its way through the church in one fashion or another. And we need to be paying attention. And we need to be careful about what we're allowing in to the church. We need to be paying attention. If we already have Christ, we don't need anything else. You cannot deceive people who have the truth. You have the truth in Christ Jesus. Don't allow someone to take you captive because you're starting to ignore the truth and go to something else. We need to make sure that we are constantly proclaiming Jesus Christ, because he's what we need. There's nothing else in this world that we need more than him. He is our salvation. He is our Savior, our Lord, our Master, our God. Let's stay focused on him and not any other fancy worded presentation, something that is so grandly orated that, well, it just sounded so good. And there's people that go from church to church just looking for somebody to tickle their ear, looking for someone that says a lot of flowery things, and it sounds great and it feels good, but in reality, they're empty words. And if you want the solid food, you've got to stick with Christ. You've got to stay with him. This evening, if you have yet to put on Christ, truly live your life following him, you have the opportunity tonight to put him on through baptism, to clothe yourself with him and to live your life focusing on his teachings, on his word, not anybody else's, not even mine. You got to check me. You got to pay attention. And don't just expect that, well, Travis is going to have a great sermon today because we trust him. Yeah, I like the fact that you trust me, but at the same time, check me. Make sure that I'm teaching the truth. Don't hold back on that. So, if you're ready to take on Christ and follow after him, you'd be making a wonderful decision. And this evening, if you need help, maybe you've been hearing some things and it's making you question some scriptures. We're here to help. We're here to look at that with you and study along with you. Make sure we understand what Jesus or what his prophets or apostles are actually saying through his word so that we get it right. The call of the church of Christ is to stay true to the word. That's the goal. We're his church, so we better stay true to him and his word. If you have a need, please come forward while we stand and while we sing.